I'm Dr. Amalia Gonyas-Malka. Welcome to Womanity, Woman in Unity, the show that celebrates prominent and ordinary African women's milestone achievements in their struggles for liberation, self-emancipation, human rights, democracy, racism, socioeconomic class division, and gender-based violence. Joining us today is Major General Motlhabane, who is the Chief Director of Human Resource Management at the Department of Defense. Welcome to the show, Major General.
Thank you for inviting me.
Major General, the Department of Defense looks after an inordinately large number of people. I believe the number is around about the 100,000. Can you tell us a little bit in terms of managing that process? It's a significant number.
Thank you. Indeed, it looks like it is a significant number. And however, we do have structures that are in place to assist all of us to manage that. Currently, I am deployed at the division level, where then I have directors from all the services and divisions within the human resources environment who facilitate the management of each service in terms of the numbers of people that we have within the department. So for the Army, I do have a director, human resource manager, who assists me with the Army management, and that goes for the Air Force, for the medical services, as well as for the Navy and the rest of the services and divisions.
So within the Defense Force, we've got Navy, we've got Army, we've got Air Force and medical services. So that's four divisions.
Indeed, there are four services, and in addition to that, we have what we refer to as divisions, which now we'll be talking about logistics, defense intelligence, and corporate services, which is responsible for managing the corporate at the corporate level, managing the defense force at a corporate level.
And Major General, given your role within the human resource sector, I think you're probably in a good position to comment on this point. Does being or working, pursuing a career within the Defence Force give you stability and good progression in comparison to the type of jobs that someone in the civilian space would be offered or afforded?
I think it does. I think it does. The Defence Force is one of the departments that affords you the opportunity to pursue the career that you want. And they also afford you the opportunity to study when you want to study, and the support that you need. You don't just choose a career, you also, you know, given the support that you need to achieve the careers that one wants to achieve. And that is, you know, can be attributed to the fact that the Defense Forces was initially a male-dominated environment. So it becomes a bit of a challenge for one to, you know, just sail through without experiencing a bit of challenges. That is why then you are provided with all the support that one needs to achieve the whatever the career that one has chosen.
And when we're talking about challenges, can you tell us some of the gender challenges that you experienced personally and how you overcame them during your career?
I think the one that is significant to me is the fact that the environment is male-dominated. So as you go through the ranks, when one's promoted, and you know, especially when you get appointed to what normally is referred to as difficult positions, then you know there is the tendency of people to believe that you won't make it because you are a woman, or you were just promoted because you are a woman. So you have to prove yourself to these people that you can do. You are promoted because you deserve the promotion. You have the potential to make it. So for me, that's the biggest challenge that I've experienced. But it can also be easy for one to overcome that, because you need to be assertive, but also be sensitive to the fact that this is a male-dominated environment. So you just don't have to be pushy, but you need to navigate your way through so that you can, you know, achieve whatever that you want. And also, I think what also worked for me was the negotiation skills, because sometimes you just need to negotiate your way through without even, you know, offending your colleagues, male colleagues. For me, that's what made me survive.
And do you find that you adopt different mindsets when you're operating in a male-dominated environment versus if you're in a female-dominated environment?
I would say yes, because sometimes you even though it's not conscious, you're not doing it consciously so, you find yourself sometimes competing with them, which that if you're not careful, you'll end up behaving like them. But I think what one needs to raise is you don't need to behave like men to be efficient in a male-dominated environment. You just need to know what you're doing, what is it that you need to achieve, set your goals, and then, you know, with a good plan in place, you should be able to achieve your objectives.
And looking back, women have played many roles in the military, from administration roles to women who are currently serving in conflict areas in Africa, as the minister indicated, in Darfur, in Sudan, and in the DRC. Now, although the majority of soldiers are still men, more and more women are joining the army, serving their country, and accomplishing high rankings like yourself. Can you share with us some of your personal experiences from when you first joined the army?
Okay, I joined the army in 1989. Then I was a lieutenant. And unfortunately, I was in the unit that I worked at. I was the only female within the officers' corps. So you'd find men making funny jokes, you know, about women, and I think it was important for me to make them realize that it's not right for them to humiliate females. But you don't need to raise your voice or even fight with them. Just you know, in a very polite manner, make them realize that they're making mistakes, they're doing what they're not supposed to be doing. And once you start doing that, then they start respecting you. And then I was working in Mafikeng, then I was transferred to Pretoria in 1995. And I was, at the time, I was appointed as the personnel officer at Army Headquarters Unit. And that was shortly after the integration of the seven forces. And fortunately or unfortunately, but I think I was really blessed to have had the kind of clients that I had. Most of them were senior officers. And I'm proud to say today that I was able to manage them, you know, despite the fact that I was still at a very junior rank. But I was able to serve them, and they respected me. And some of them, even though they are retired, they still respect me for, you know, the way I conducted myself and the office at the time. And then also progressed further to a lieutenant colonel, and I was fortunate to have been appointed as staff officer in the policy environment, human resource policies. And that afforded me the opportunity to know the inside of human resources, because then I was given the responsibility of writing human resources policies at that level, which I think then formed the basis of the knowledge that I currently have, because I can always refer to those policies that I used to write.
And that's very instrumental, not just from a personal sense of achievement, but to the impact that you're having on the broader organization through generating policy.
No, it is. And it gives one great pleasure when, you know, you just call and ask a question, and you're in a position to give a response that satisfies the person who is posing that question to you. And as I progressed, I think one of the most, you know, valuable experiences that I've had was when I was appointed as the Deputy Chief Army Corporate Services in the Army then. And unfortunately for me, also fortunately, because now I was given this opportunity to display what I can do, you know, the knowledge that I have. Shortly after my appointment, my senior was then appointed as the acting chief of the army, and knew as I was in that post, then I had to run the chief directorate alone. And one of my responsibilities was to oversee the expenditure of the chief directorate. And to date, I have not had any qualification in terms of that, and for me it's an achievement. This is really an achievement. And then that was this current appointment that I am now as Chief Director, Human Resource Management. It is the first time that a female has been appointed in this post. And one of my responsibilities is to execute ceremonial activities, both nationally and internally. And one activity that I regard as the highlight of my career was when I was given the responsibility of planning and executing the presidential inauguration for 2013. And a lot of people thought I would not make it mainly because I'm a woman and I have never been involved in ceremonial activities. But I'm proud to say to you that it went well, and I was congratulated by both the Chief of the National Defense Force as well as the National Police Commissioner for a job well done.
Well, congratulations, and for proving that it goes beyond gender and it is all about competency.
Indeed. And, you know, it was sad because at some point of the planning session, one of the female colleagues asked me, why did they give you this responsibility? And I think at some point he realized that he asked the wrong question, and he tried to just cover it and said, I'm not saying that you cannot make it. And I said, I was given this responsibility because it's one of my, the core responsibility in what I'm doing, my post. So it could not have been given to anybody else.
Major General, it goes back to stereotyping. How do you think we can overcome issues of stereotyping in the future?
It's a difficult one in that the current management, especially in the security sector, the security sector is male dominated. So we unfortunately we must grow our own timber. We can't recruit from inside. So we need to continue educating them and educating them and educating them. Hopefully by the time we're done, they would have listened and understood what we're trying to say to them. But I think it's also good to know that with more women coming in, we'll have more women represented in the management level, where then at that stage we won't be confronted with these attitudes. I think, yeah, with time we'll get there.
Yes, with time. That's the only point that is unfortunate. But it's looking at gender issues from both a male and a female point of view, and importantly, across the different levels. It's not just about one level being at the bottom or the point of entry, but also about at the top with the senior level.
Yes, indeed, it's true what you're saying. But I think what we also need to do is we must move away from dealing with our issues as gender issues. We must focus more on transformation than gender issues and include male and female. Because currently, the understanding that is there in our organization is that the gender conference is all about females. So we need to move away from that and start talking about transformation and be inclusive. And I think that's one way of that will assist us in getting these concepts through to them.
And what do you hope to be the key outcomes of the gender conference today? Well, the gender conference that's happening for the Department of Defense for 2015.
I think we've got two. For me, we've got two. We need to get guidelines from the minister. She needs to tell us what is it that she envisage achieving in terms of her department. And I think she has done that very well. She has given us a few points that as management or administrators, then we must start developing them into plans and implement so that then we can start moving forward. But secondly, is also to listen to what the members of our organization are saying. What are their interpretation of what management is doing? Because if we then think that we can just be there on top alone, I promise you we won't achieve what we want to achieve. We need to listen to everybody who is part of this organization And I think those dialogues will come once the official opening is be done with it. Then we'll start, you know, opening the dialogues for members to talk to the management.
Dialogue is important, and I think that that's one of the key attributes that women have with regards to leadership elements is the consultative approach that they adopt. It may take longer, but at least we've got multiple views that are heard, and we're able to address the whole situation as opposed to a blanketed approach.
I agree with you, and I think what is also important is for us to look at what the organization is saying. And while we're doing our plans, while we're compiling our plans, we must look at the quick ones and also have the medium and the long terms. Because if we can just put them in one basket, we're likely not to achieve anything. And I believe that if we can categorize our plans and look at the quick ones, and you know, when our members start seeing that there is progress, then they will start having confidence in this organization. And that's what we need now. That's what we need now, to show to them that the management is making efforts, concerted efforts, to transform this organization as it's required by the government imperatives.
We'll take a short break.
Hi, I'm Zonke Dikana, a South African Afro-soul musician, songwriter, and producer. You are listening to Womanity, Women in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance.
You are listening to Womanity, Women in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance, on frequency 9625 kHz on the 31-meter band. Today, we're talking to Major General Motlebane, Chief Director of Human Resource Management at the Department of Defense. We would love to receive your comments on Twitter at Womanity Talk. One of the issues that women struggle with, both be it on the civilian side or be it within the military space, is managing that delicate balance between having a family life and between having an active career. Can you tell us some of the elements, some of the interventions that are in place which help accommodate women who are raising children, and albeit sometimes we've got a lot of single mothers that are juggling that balance of pursuing a career and managing their home?
Yeah, that's a difficult one, that one. But we do have measures that are put in place, especially if you can just allow me to talk about those members who are externally deployed, where you find that in most cases maybe the husbands are gone for periods, long periods of time. We do have what we call the spousal forum, where the spouses of our colleagues then visit them. The spousal forum is made of spouses of the members who are generals in the Defense Force. And they have, as part of their responsibility, they have this responsibility to support the spouses of those members whose husbands are deployed externally. So they would go and visit them and see how they're doing, if there is something that they need. And recently we had them, there was a launch of the parcels that they were going to donate to those women and men whose partners are deployed externally. So it's one of the support systems that we have for those people. Also, we do have a crèche in Tech Base where it's, you know, our members can, you know, take their kids there during the day, and after hours they go take them home. So they are in the vicinity around them, they're not far.
And that's a very important part. And I think that when we started with the new dispensation from a government point of view, that was one of the most significant interventions in Parliament, where there was the facility where we could have lady members of Parliament, by having the crèches available for them so they knew where their children were.
No, indeed it is. And like I said earlier, we have started. So we will continue improving on what we have started, because we're looking at we do have financial constraints. We cannot just roll out a complete plan one time of such support systems, but we're doing it, you know, gradually, and we believe that we will achieve that as the department.
Now, Major General, although this is a gender conference where we're looking at inclusion of both men and women, the reality is that South Africa comes from a patriarchal background, and that has affected our society. It's permeated our society. But gender equality has become a global focus, and from a South African point of view, we have the Women Empowerment and Gender Equality Bill, which is still undergoing rounds of review. But in principle, it is about being able to afford equal opportunity to women and men, whether that is in the public space, private sector, whether we're talking about it from a pay parity point of view, or even when it comes down to promotion. What are your perspectives on gender equality, and do you think it's possible to achieve the 50-50 representation?
Within the Defence Force? 50-50 representation within the Defence Force?
Well, from the policy point of view, 50-50 is looking at it going across broad sector. Mm-hmm. I know that within the Defence Force, we're talking about that we're just on the cusp of achieving 30%.
In terms of our policies, even though the government policy says 50-50% representation, in terms of our departmental policies, it's 30-70. And I want to assure you that the management, SNDF management, is trying the best to achieve that. We have gradually achieved because within the management level, since 1994, we are now at 15%. Which for me, it's a great achievement. And we also have, we are involved in plans where we're trying to empower those who are still in lower ranks, so that then we have a feeder system that will allow us to transform our management level as we are expected to. And I believe that we will achieve that, because whatever that we are doing, it's with reference to the government policies. So we are trying to, actually, we are indeed, you know, making an effort to comply with what is required of us.
And to fast-track the process, are there any accelerated programs that are in place for women to build that competency? Because as we've said before, competency is the crucial factor.
Yes, thank you. In terms of plans to accelerate that, we have come to an agreement that when we do acceptances in courses, there is a certain percentage that is allocated to females, and we don't deviate from that. When we started in 94, it was 10%. We have now progressed to 25%. So that's the percentage that is allocated to females to ensure that we get enough people, you know, developed. And there is a fast-tracking policy that we refer to. It's not fast-tracking in the sense that you are promoting people who are not qualified. It talks to the accelerated development of those individuals who have shown that they have the potential to function at higher levels. And once they have been afforded with the opportunities to do the necessary training, we also ensure that they rotate, so that then they become all-rounders instead of one specializing in one environment. Then that affords you the opportunity to be available for any position that might be vacant.
Major General, today you're a role model within the military space, and you've provided evidence for many women and girls within the military, but also on a broader spectrum within the country, that hard work and personal sacrifice are ingredients with which you can achieve almost anything. Can you please take us back to some of those moments that built your career, those factors which drove you to succeed?
That's a difficult one. But I think one needs to be committed. You really need to be committed and be focused on what you're doing. Because if you're not serious about what you're doing, then you're likely to fail. And remember, this is a male-dominated environment, and immediately you make a mistake, then they would say, yes, we told you. But I think one other factor that built me was when you make a mistake, one should come out and say to your supervisor, I've made a mistake, but this is how I'm going to fix it. I know how to fix it, so don't worry.
So coming up with the solution as opposed to a problem.
Yes, yes, indeed. Coming up with a solution as opposed to a problem. And also making him aware of what is happening around him instead of him or her hearing about it from somewhere else. It's very important for me. Very important for me. And also to, you know, encourage people around you to work as a team. It works for me. When, for example, there is a document, like I said, that I used to work with, you know, with policy, then you call all the relevant people and you give them the opportunity to look at the document together. And you discuss it. You argue until you reach an agreeable point on whatever that you'll be. For me, it's very important. And that I would say built me.
So coming through from your philosophy is about driving and debating to achieve consensus. And within your sphere, the factors have been commitment, self-development, and a belief in transparency.
Yes, transparency as well, very important, because if nobody knows about what you're doing, because people have this belief that everything in the Defence Force is secretive. That's not the case. We need to be transparent about those issues that we can put on the table and be transparent about. Okay, our operational plans are secret, but the rest, we need to really talk about them and discuss them fairly.
We'll take a short break.
Hi, this is Lira, South African Afro-soul singer and songwriter. You're listening to Womanity, Women in Unity, presented by Dr. Amalia Malka on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance, a program that celebrates prominent and ordinary African women's milestone achievements in their struggle for liberation, self-emancipation, human rights, and democracy.
Today, we're talking to Major General Motlhabane, Chief Director of Human Resource Management at the Department of Defense. We would love to receive your comments on Twitter at Womanity Talk. And moving on from your career point of view, can you share with us what goals you want to accomplish in your career and what we can expect from you in the near future?
In terms of what can be expected from me in the near future, my career is determined by my seniors. They see what I'm capable of. And they will identify, like they've done in the past, they will identify those posts that they think that I will best be suited for. I'm a people-oriented person. I get satisfaction in seeing people being happy with their problems being resolved. So I want to be utilized in those positions where I can, you know, people can just walk into my office and then I'll assist them in whatever that they need to assistance in. And that's my goal, to assist the people that are working for this organization.
It was interesting. I had a conversation with General Fisser, and one of the things she said about is that there are an abundance of opportunities within the military space, but you have to go out and actively embrace them. Don't let them pass you by.
It's true. It is true. You know, like I said previously, that this organization, it provides you with the opportunity to pursue the career that you want to pursue. It affords you the opportunity to develop yourself personally. We have study opportunities where they pay for you, and then you have to plow back. And there are very few organizations that do that. And also, it affords most of us the opportunity to travel, especially when you have to deploy externally. And you're not just traveling for the fun of it. You're traveling to become an ambassador of the Defense Force, which for me, you know, makes me to be proud of this organization, because when you're walking out there in this uniform, and people will be saying, yes, indeed, this person is representing the department that she's working for.
I get a strong sense of patriotism whenever I talk to anyone within the military space, that it is, they're patriotic, they're passionate about not only the role and the function that they're serving, but more importantly about serving their country.
Yes. We are different from the rest of the department in the sense that the manner in which we have been trained, what we've been trained for, if you decide not to be patriotic, then you'll be a misfit in this department. And in most cases, that is why people are now able to say, look at that soldier, look at that person is behaving, especially when you're in uniform and your behavior and conduct is inappropriate. You know, so even the uniform that you wear demands that you respect it and you respect the organization that you're working for. And the Department of Defense, being the most senior department in the government, it gives you pride to be a member of it or to work for this organization, for me.
And would you say that the department, the defense, the military almost gets under your skin, that you become part of it? It's part of your life.
It is part of your life, and it becomes one even when you're at home. That is why maybe sometimes it's important for your family members to say to you, hey, this is not the military. This is, now you are home. You are in charge there, not here. But it becomes part of your life. And somehow the skills that you get from the Defense Force, they work with your family. They work.
So the family is all lined up in terms of what they have to do.
Tell them that this is what I want and I don't want this. And, you know, you're just saying it, you know, like you relax. You stand up and say, hey, this is what I want and this I don't want. You rattle them in the beginning and then later on they say, but you are out of order. But yes, they do it anyway.
So it's the assertive skills that transcend going into the home as well.
Yes. And one other thing that we have learned in the Defense Force is time. Very important. You can imagine if we have to be somewhere, you know, to fight with our enemy and we are not there. Then it means you have lost the battle. So and that has, you know, it has been transferred to my family. Let me now be personal. That's how I do things in my family. 5 o'clock is 5 o'clock. I cannot leave any time before 5 or after 5. Before 5, I can still compromise, but after 5, it becomes a problem.
Time management is an incredible skill that we need in absolutely every sphere of life.
I agree with you, because it determines your successes as well. If you are not there at the time when you're supposed to be there, then most probably you will fail. Because otherwise, what it means is you have to rush through. And you might leave out certain details, you know. And maybe that's another thing that we have learned in the Defense Force, proper planning, and you must include all the details. So you must go over and over your plans just to make sure that you have made plans for everything, and also what you call contingency planning. In case your plan doesn't work, in case something disrupts you, then at least you have plan B.
Well, thank you for sharing some of the insights in terms of the softer skills that one acquires within the military. So whether it is about self-discipline, time management, planning, and improving competence, and how it transcends across the home front. Major General, I'd imagine that a major part of your role being the Chief Director of Human Resource Management is looking at how we attract more people into the ranks, particularly at the younger end of the spectrum, so that point of market entry. Can you tell us what type of programs you've got in place to attract our young consumers?
Thank you. Well, one of my responsibilities in my current appointment is recruitment and marketing. And in trying to achieve that objective, we have formed partnerships with quite a number of organizations. Just mention a few. We, on annual basis, now we have a standard arrangement with the Michel's Plan Festival, where we are allowed a space to exhibit both our carriers as well as our hardware.
And is that Mitchell's Plain in Cape Town, yes?
Yes, it is Mitchell's Plain in Cape Town. And the organizers then facilitate this by inviting schools around so that they can just walk in and then see what we have in terms of hardware and listen to the presentations in terms of the careers that we can offer to them in the Defense Force. The other partnership that we have, which has also become standard now, is the Rent Show, is Rent Easter Show, where we go there around the Easter holidays, and we also exhibit both the hardware as well as career exhibitions. And it has come out that with the Rent Easter Show, the Defense Force now is the main attract to the Rent Easter Show. People just go there to go and look at what you're doing and also listen to what we are offering.
Well, it's a great form for exhibitions. So you own the Cape Town area with the Mitchell's Plain project, and you look after the Johannesburg Gauteng region with the Easter Rand Show.
Yes, and we also have formed a partnership now recently with the Department of Higher Education and Training. It started in 2013, where we were invited to have a career exhibition at the Val University Technikon. That was in Sebokeng last year, and this year we were in the Durban University Technikon. The advantage of going to the, and they refer to it as Mandela Career Exhibition. It's the advantage with us going there is we get the opportunity to interact with people who are about to achieve or finalize their qualification, post-matric qualifications. So it affords us the opportunity to, you know, recruit those people who are qualified. When over and above that, we have standing arrangements with schools all over the country where if we are needed to go there and to set up a career exhibition, we do go there. So and that also allows us with an opportunity to tag those students who are still at grade 10, and especially those who are doing maths and science, then we tag them while they're at grade 10. And at the time when they complete their grade 12, then we know that at that school we have so many that we can recruit, especially for our scarce skills, where maths and science is a requirement.
It's a great point of development, and I think that those are all very strong areas of recruitment.
It is, and we're hoping to have more partnerships with anybody else who would require or provide us with an opportunity to have access to the kind of skills that we need in the Defense Force. Because as we all know that, you know, technical skills are scarce skills in South Africa, so we all trying to grab whatever that is available.
It's a competitive market, I think, both for the military and for the private sector.
No, it is, and most often we are faced with the challenge of retaining those people. But fortunately, we have now come up with a strategy where we are providing them with a special allowance. If you are technically qualified, then you do have an allowance, you know, as a retention method for the Defense Force. And since the introduction of that allowance, we've been able to retain quite a number of them. We're not losing skills like we did before.
That's a very good approach. Now, Major General, in closing our conversation today, can you please share a few words of wisdom or inspiration that you'd like to pass on to our young ladies listening to us on the continent?
That one, yes. The Defense Force is a very good organization to work for. It provides you with all the skills that you need for both your career as well as your personal life. But I think what is important for a person is you need to be committed. Once you decide to become a member of the Defense Force, you need to be committed. And once you're committed, then you won't struggle in terms of, you know, going through up the ranks in the Defense Force or even being or performing at the level that you're expected to. That's really what I can say to people. That it's, and the other issue that I have, or what I can say to the young men out there is, It's an organization that offers people with opportunities. And you need to be a go-getter. You really need to go be a go-getter and grab those opportunities. You cannot just sit there and expect that everything will come to you.
Thank you very much for those words of wisdom and inspiration.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure having you on our show today, and we look forward to hearing about your future developments within the next phase of your career. You have been listening to Womanity, Woman in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance. And we have been talking to Major General Motlebane, Chief Director of Human Resource Management at the Department of Defense.